We'll wait for that. First order of business is to approve the March 2nd, 2023 historic site minutes. Sean?
Thank you. This is Sean. I make a motion to approve the March 2nd, 2023 Historic Sites and Monuments Commission meeting minutes.
Eileen, second.
So without objection, the minutes for March 2nd are approved. We have a few things in other business, so I want to we have a fair amount of things at this meeting, so we'll try to move as briskly as possible. The first item on the regular agenda is the petition of Kiwan Drayton, hope I'm saying your name right, 1305 Bernard Street. And we'll have it's a mural at 1305 Bernard Street. We'll have staff present.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the application for 1305 Barnard Street. The applicant is requesting approval for an installation of a mural on the property located at 1305 Barnard Street. It will be the full size of the wall and painted with high-quality exterior paints. Per the applicant, the Mailbox Cafe community mural is an art piece incorporating the love for our city's culture and diverse population. And I'm going to scoot over here to show you the area. The mural is proposed to be located on the facade that faces Henry Street and will cover a non-historic painted sign. The building is on a corner lot and is connected to a clay studio, and the SCAD fashion department is across the street. There are no other such murals in the vicinity. Staff would also like to note, as you'll see in this photo here, the original design has been modified from the first submittal, which would have qualified as a sign rather than a mural because it included the business name. But the design has since been modified as originally shown here of the submittal packet, that the staff found that the mural still could stand on its own without that inclusion. So 1305 Barnard Street was built circa 1965, and it's a non-contributing resource within the National Register Victorian Historic District and the local district. It is zoned TC1 and currently functions as the Mailbox Cafe. The applicant knew which artist they wanted to work with. Zay Hutchins is a local artist and Savannah State University alumnus. He has previous experience painting murals locally, including at the Toasted Yolk Cafe in the Plant Riverside District, and shot by Somi Studios on the south side. Hutchins also owns an art studio, ABZ Studio, and hosts artist performance showcases. His Instagram page highlights Hutchins' high level of skill, design, and talent, as well as the professional quality of his work. With regard to materials, the artist will use Behr Ultra Stain blocking paint and primer and Vandal Guard anti-graffiti coating. Staff recommends approval of the mural at 1305 Barnard Street as requested because the public art project meets the standards in the master plan and guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Caitlin. I did want to say one thing real quick. I appreciate that you did some staff research and included some images from the artist. I'll just say to the petitioner, it's not a huge deal. And I know that in the original application, it did list the artist's Instagram, but it's helpful to actually include actual images in the application. It's not a big deal, but thank you, staff, for including those.
Sure.
And with that, I'll open it up if anyone else has any questions. Lisa?
This is Lisa. Not a big deal either. In the vicinity, there is the Catherine Sandoz, like Whitaker and Anderson. So that's kind of close. So that's pretty cool that, you know, block away. There's another one hopefully coming.
Yep. Thank you.
Did anyone else have any questions of staff? If not, we can hear from the petitioner.
Hello, everyone. Thank you guys for having me here today. With the mural, we just kind of want to bring...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes. Could you just say your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Kiwan. First name, last name is Drayton.
Oh, I did get it right. So
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. So with the mural, we just kind of want to bring, you know, a vibrant mural. A lot of our students are SCAD students, and a lot of people come to the area to buy drinks, to ship their packages and things like that. And a lot of students were inquiring about, you know, just they said that the side of our building would be a great place to have a mural. We also get a lot of tourists who come over that way just because they are we store luggage for people who are either flying in or flying out. And a lot of people just kind of want to have that last photo opportunity or that first photo opportunity. So we thought that would be a great way to draw more attention to that side, our business, and also just, you know, color up the city a little bit more.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. And I know Zay. I know Lisa knows Zay. He's great. I love the design. It's a great.
Appreciate
artist.
It. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Does anyone have any questions of the petitioner? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not really necessarily questions, but more so just comments. One, I absolutely love the way how you worked in the window into the actual mural design. I was like, when I first looked at it, I was like, why do you have a giant white screen in your picture? That makes absolutely no sense on earth.
Yeah.
But we're not judging we're not approving or recommending based off of our personal opinion. I just thought it worked in really well.
Yeah.
And I also really like the skyline for Savannah. But one thing that shocked me the most, and I don't know how we can actually work this in, but you actually did your due diligence and went through and found what type of paint you're using mm-hmm. and you're going to be using. Because I think I'm probably off a little, but I would say 90 to 99% of the applications that come before the commission, it's, oh yeah, they're going to work with staff to find out what type of paint we're to use. Mm-hmm. And then Lisa does a great job of saying, no, you don't want that type of paint because when you take the paint off, it's going to peel.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like how you included the pictures of what paint you're going to use. Mm-hmm. I'm not a paint expert, so I don't want to say yay or nay, but
yeah,
thank you very much for including that. It's very, and I love the design as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I worked very closely with Caitlin to make sure that the application was, you know, as good as possible for you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions, Lisa?
Good afternoon, Kiwan.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I am really happy that you are having a Savannah State alumni, especially Zay, because he's just, I've seen, I 8 years ago, he was in a show I curated.
Mm-hmm.
It was his first art show.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing this and it's like, I'm almost going to cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really proud of him.
Yeah, we appreciate it. That was one of the biggest things. A lot of the SCAD students were like, oh, we know this person, we know that person. But we're like, you know, we're going to try to see if we can get someone that's from Savannah and really promote what they do in their art on our building, because the building has been there, you know, for so long. And it's very important to us because the building is actually African-American owned. And we thought that it would be great to have an African-American artist kind of, you know, make it nice.
That's awesome. I would just add too, I didn't know one of your services was holding luggage for folks. So that's an interesting influx of people here.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that because we don't advertise it as much, just because we don't have a ton of space to hold a bunch of luggage. But it's always good to have to just test the market out a little bit. And eventually we will expand into being able to hold, you know, at least up to 50 customers' luggages at one time.
That's cool. Well, that's great. They will see a local artist. If this is approved, they'll see a local artist work on the wall.
Exactly.
Awesome.
And hopefully he'll be flying out to other places to do some art too. So it's a great way to promote what he's doing as well.
Any other questions? If there aren't any questions, or if you have any questions, don't have any questions, we can open this up for public comment. If anyone is here for public comment, if there's anyone online that is here for public comment, just use the, excuse me, raise your hand feature. And we'll wait a minute. Nobody. Okay. If there's no one here for public comment, we can entertain a board discussion or a motion. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation as stated with.
Okay. There is a motion to accept staff's recommendation. Is there a second?
Eileen, second.
Okay, there is a motion. So the motion and seconded is to accept staff's recommendation. Eileen, how do you vote? We'll just go down the line.
Yes.
Catherine Kostelnik, yes.
Lisa D. Watson, yes.
Sean, yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, too. Appreciate it. All right, moving on. The second item on our regular agenda is the petition of First Bryan Baptist Church and George Benton for a monument in that location. And we're going to hear from the staff's presentation first.
All right, thank you. This is Caitlin again presenting the application of the Andrew Bryan commemorative bust in Yamacross Square. The applicant is requesting approval for a monument application part one, theme, location, and preliminary design for the creation and installation of a 5'8" bronze bust of Reverend Andrew Bryan to Yamacross Square. For the applicant, the proposed bronze bust, rendered from approximately mid-chest up and positioned upon a pedestal, is to be located on the east side within Yamacross Square, facing west into the plaza towards an array of narrative bronze plaques. Yamacross Square lies directly in front of First Bryan Baptist Church. The applicant provided photographs of the existing conditions within Yamacross Square and a digital mock-up of how the monument would look in location. So we have the east, where it would be facing, and then current west and proposed. Same for the south. And there you can see the church. And then the north view. So the theme of the proposed monument encompasses the categories of religious history and local history. There is no other such monument commemorating Reverend Andrew Bryan. For the applicant, the historic First Bryan Baptist Church is an African-American church organized 12 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence by Reverend Andrew Bryan, formerly enslaved, in 1788. Considered to be the mother church of Black Baptists, the site was purchased in 1793 and to date is one of the oldest continuous parcels of real estate owned by African Americans in the United States. Reverend Andrew Bryan was the founder and first pastor of the church until his passing and deserves significant recognition as such. With regards to enduring historical significance, the congregation Reverend Bryan founded still exists today on the same parcel of land where the current church building is located. Per the applicant, the proposed bust of Andrew Bryan is relevant to the Savannah community as a whole, and also specifically to the Yamacraw community, because his legacy through the church has produced pastors, members of the congregation, and members of the community as leaders in the Baptist religion, but also in government, emancipation, education, and civil rights movements within Savannah and throughout Georgia. There is significant documented evidence of Reverend Bryan's life and work. Much of the primary source information is held in the First Bryan Baptist Church archives, but historical information is widely available in other collections and published books about the history of African American Baptist churches in the U.S. The proposed location in Yamacross Square is appropriate as it is in close proximity to the church, has parking and ADA accessibility, and features other works by Jerome Meadows, the artist commissioned to create the proposed monument. In addition to the sculptural works created in the square in 2006 and other works within Savannah, Meadows also was commissioned to design the African Burying Grounds Memorial in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We have a few photos there as well. Start up here. So for staff recommendation, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommends approval to Savannah City Council for the application of Part 1, Theme, Location, and Preliminary Design for the creation of a bronze bust of Reverend Andrew Bryan to be installed in Yamacross Square as requested because the project meets the standards in the Master Plan and Guidelines for Markers, Monuments, and Public Art. Thank you. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Caitlin. I'll commend you again for the staff research element. I know that was just a little overhead, but It's always helpful. Does anyone have any questions of staff? Lisa?
This is Lisa. What's the base below the bronze?
Let's take a look.
Is it granite?
That might be a better question for the applicant.
Okay.
Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Real quick, and I don't know if it has to come up in phase one, it might be a later phase, but normally we see like the cost associated or whatever. Is that not part of this phase or is that later? Because I didn't see any of it, but I may have missed it.
The applicant did provide a budget breakdown within, I'm trying to see where, right within here.
Okay.
But it's not required to be the final until the part two of the application.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions of staff? If there's no more questions of staff, we can hear from the petitioner. You just state your name for the record.
Absolutely. Hello. My name is Ellie Isaacs. I am the preservation consultant here on behalf of Miss Georgia Benton and First Bryan Baptist Church, and I can answer any questions that you have.
I have my first question real quick is this is great. First of all, I think it bears mentioning, I think we all know the Yamacraw Square was recently officially named Yamacraw Square. It went through a refurbishing and it looks fantastic there. As it was mentioned, Jerome Meadows, you know, did these sculptures. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. My only question is with the placement of the bust, as far as where it's facing,
mm-hmm.
is there a reason it's not facing the church that would make the most sense to me
right.
know, it's a kind of a minor point, but it seems odd to me to have him not facing the church.
So just due to where we're proposing to put him in within the square, there's already this pad that's present. And then it just makes more sense when you're actually standing there for him to be facing the plaques that are along these walls, because the plaques talk about the history of Yamacraw and then the significant people that have come in Yamacraw. It talks about the church, that kind of thing. And just due to landscaping and things like that, it doesn't make sense to have him actually face the church.
Yes.
He is also one of hopefully two additional busts that will be getting made in the future as well, of other notable African-American people from the city. So that's just the start.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It seems odd that he wouldn't be facing the church. Just, I understand what you're saying, but I would have to go look. I see where you're saying from the top, but, Okay. Any other questions of the petition?
Oh, and Miss Lisa, to answer your question, it's granite on the bottom. Yes, ma'am.
Are we looking at it here?
It would be over here in this sign.
I see.
Okay.
So it would be kind of weird if you're walking into this sort of circle there.
So see, he's facing interior in here versus this way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it still seems weird to me, but okay. that's just my opinion.
It makes more sense, I feel like, when you're actually there.
Yeah, that's fair. That's just my individual opinion. Any other questions of the petitioner? Lisa?
Was he 5'8"?
I do not have an answer to that.
I don't think we know how tall exactly he was. Isn't that the size of the installation?
Yes.
Okay.
It would be really cool to
see
his head.
Yeah. I don't know if we know that. If we actually know. Do you know if was he 5'8"? He was shorter. So I mean, that's possible.
So okay. You gave him a couple inches.
Yeah, we gave him a couple inches.
In regards to Christopher's comment,
yeah.
From what I read, he did so many things for the community too.
Yeah.
So it's not.
No, that's fair. And the more I'm looking at it, I can kind of see, I think I'm trying to put myself in the space. So that's a fair point.
And one of the reasons too was because that pad is already there and it's like a semicircular pad. So it just kind of makes sense to put him there.
Any other questions of the petitioner? I would just add one more comment that there are very few monuments in this city two African Americans. So this is a, I would say, a very welcome addition.
Thank you. That's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Any other questions of the petitioner? Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Real quick, you mentioned that there are potentially additional monuments that you're looking at doing, right?
Yes.
I know that they're not up for discussion, but are you looking, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. Can you scroll to the picture that gives like the aerial view of, yeah, yes, that one. So, so right now, proposed monument, assuming that it passes and everything, is scheduled to go there. Where would the others go?
We haven't discussed that.
Okay. The only reason I asked was just more so from a
aesthetics. From a holistic planning point of view. Yeah, we haven't discussed that yet.
Okay, but it's, I think it's a great idea, and anything that takes stuff away from those people up in Charleston, where I'm not anti-Charleston, I just don't like the city. Savannah's way better. It's in the Bible. Look it up. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the petitioner? If there's any, if there's anyone in the, did you, if you have anything else to say?
No, that was all. Thank you.
We can open this up to Ryan.
My name is Ryan Jarles, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it, so I have my fancy note. I'll just read it to you. Historic Savannah Foundation is pleased to see Jerome Meadows continuing his work in Yamacraw Village and the continued use of his artistry on behalf of the community and honoring one of the great former leaders of the city of Savannah. As stated by the petitioner, Reverend Andrew Bryan was the founder and first pastor of First Bryan Baptist Church until his passing and does deserve significant recognition as such. Although this is not large in scale, this addition to the newly named Yamacraw Square will be large in its purpose of bringing attention to the continued threats regarding the loss of important resources and histories within Yamacraw Village. We hope the Historic Site and Monument Commission will see this project as we do and vote unanimously for a recommendation of approval. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. It's always appreciated when folks like from your organization show up. It makes our job a lot easier. Is there anyone else to speak on behalf of the petition, of the petitioner? If not, we can open, okay.
I'd like to say amen and hallelujah.
I'm sorry, if you, I didn't mean to.
My name is
just,
Georgia Benson.
Okay, thank you.
I am the historian of First Bryan Baptist Church, part of the Yamacraw Restoration, and anything Yamacraw to enhance it. My name is Somewhere Around. And this was a divine idea given to me. No one put it in my head but the Lord. And then I hope y'all appreciate it because we got two more. UC Houston and Wesley Law. So please welcome us again when we come back.
Thank you. I remember I actually attended when the Yamacraw unveiling, I remember you speaking there as well. You're very much appreciated.
Thank you all so very much.
Thank you. And we can also open this up to if anyone else is here to speak on behalf of the petition or if there's any members of the public that would like to speak. If there's anyone online that is here to speak from the public, you can use the raise your hand feature. Doesn't sound like there is. Doesn't look like there is. Anyone else to speak? If not, we can entertain a board discussion or a motion. I mean, I think this is a fantastic idea. More than happy to entertain the Wesley Wallace Law busts or sculptures or anything of the sort, Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Let me correct my record from previously. It's from he was born in Goose Creek, South Carolina, which is just outside of Charleston. Is that right? Yeah. Still, I don't like still anything that takes away from Charleston is good. True. But hey, as long as it's not going to Charleston, that's all that matters, right? I think this is a great bust. I think it's well overdue. I think the amount of work that he did, even in such a like, really long life, I think he was like 90, 99 or 98, somewhere around in there. He was definitely way up there. And for that time, very, very much needed. I would just like to make a motion to approve staff's recommendation as stated.
There's a motion to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
This is Catherine. I have second.
So the motion is to approve staff recommendation and second. Eileen?
Aye.
Catherine, aye.
Lisa, aye.
Sean, aye.
The motion passes. Congratulations. I'll just add, I really commend you for using a local artist, and Jerome is, well beloved here. So that's a great choice as well. So thank you all. Okay, moving along. We have a couple of items of other business. We have here for the nominating committee. I'll have to be reminded who was who was on that ballot. Do we know? I think I was there for the chair. I know that much. Vice chair, and then who did we nominate as secretary? Okay. So the nomination is for myself as chair. Lisa D. Watson as vice chair, and Catherine as secretary. We just have a motion and then vote on it? Is that how that works? It's been so long. Is there a motion?
I make a motion for Chris as chair, Lisa as vice chair, and
Catherine
as secretary.
Secretary. And Sean?
This is Sean. I second Eileen's motion.
Now, do we vote for ourselves?
Yes.
Okay, so we all vote, but I will abstain as typical. Okay. Go ahead, Eileen. We'll just stick to the regular routine.
Yes.
Catherine, yes.
Lisa, yes.
Sean. Yes.
No. Okay. The motion passes. And just to clarify, as I've stated 1,000 times before, if the chair is not here, the vice chair does have to conduct the meeting. But I've never, ever missed a meeting, so that will not be a problem. Now we have a discussion about the Technical Advisory Committee. If you all were familiar, I spoke with Melanie. And Melanie, do you want to tell the folks a little bit about our discussion so we can frame what we're discussing here?
Well, first, candidly speaking, I don't really remember exactly what our discussion was about because it was several months ago. No, in all seriousness, I know that it won't be as detailed because it has been a while. But one of the concerns that we had was that using the Technical Advisory Committee was wasn't going to be a great use of time because all those positions don't exist anymore. And we did do our due diligence and did some checking. And I think that if you run into a situation where you need to have some expertise, then all you need to do is let us know and you can pull together a quick committee to get some advice. But I would not move forward with having
activate the TAC.
I wouldn't activate the TAC.
So we had a discussion, and as soon as she called, I'll be really honest. I left that meeting kind of wondering why we actually activated the advisory committee. And if I'm not mistaken, I think, wasn't it the petitioner that requested us to do that? Is that how that came up? No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I kind of left the meeting, to be honest, and I will take responsibility for that. I left the meeting kind of wondering why we actually did that even before hearing the petition. And I know that we were kind of like, well, let's just do this and see how it goes. But it didn't feel quite right to me, and I guess I should have sort of thought through it a little bit more. But once Melanie called, I was kind of like, yeah, and like, what are we asking for them to do?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't even seen the application, so it kind of feels like the cart before the horse in that case. So we decided to put this back on the agenda and see if we could discuss this and if maybe – at the very least, it seems appropriate to see the application and see if this technical advisory committee is even necessary.
If I may, I think it was my understanding from talking with staff that I don't know if you meant to, but I think you accidentally activated it, and it's my recommendation that you accidentally deactivate it.
We will on purpose deactivate it.
Right, but seriously, I do think that, you know, when you start talking about that, it makes a process that already takes a lot of time very, very lengthy.
Yeah.
And we will do our due diligence, and if we need to get technical advice, we will not only talk with you, but we do know a number of experts, not only here, but I know a number nationally as well, in order to make sure that we get all the information that is needed to ensure that you, you know, you get the information you need in order to make a good decision. So
no, thank you for
we
that.
We will make sure that we do that. And if I may, before I step away from the mic, I did want to give you all a copy of, we did a little press release. This is a Citizen's Guide to Government booklet that we put together, and David Ramsey on our staff, who's a brilliant graphics and mapping person, worked with me to put this together, and it basically has all of the elected officials from the president to the local officials, along with the new boundaries.
Oh, that's fantastic.
School districts. And then the websites where you can get the information, our website included in here, phone numbers, email addresses, et cetera. I don't have a picture of the sheriff, so if somebody asks you, I didn't do it. I didn't have a picture of the sheriff because I didn't want to get into having the police chief and all of these other things that come when you start adding some of the other folks. But all of the folks that are elected, they're included.
And that's
this is literally hot off the press. So I wanted to make sure that I gave each one of you a copy. It's our goal to put a couple of these in the library. And if you know anybody that happens to be running for office, please let them know that they can go to our website and they can download a PDF that will allow them to print in 11 by 17 or 24 by 36 so they can print their own big maps. And if they come here to ask us for maps, we're going to charge them. We spent a packet of maps cost us just to do a whole pack was over $500 for the pack for Michael. So we're not doing that anymore. We printed out so many maps during redistricting that I had to buy a new printer, a new plotter, and that was $9,000. We're doing these booklets. This booklet is also online in case you have a garden club or any other group that you might want to get a copy. They can download it and you can make as many copies and do whatever you like to do.
That's great. That's fantastic.
With it, because we all have it easily discoverable on our website, because I asked the staff to see if we could put a button. So you'll be able to get the big maps, this information, and our contact number if you've got any questions. So thank you for letting me.
Thank you. No, that's great. That's fantastic. Thank you. I love it. Civics 101.
Civics
101. So back to – thank you, Naomi. Appreciate that. Do we want to entertain the notion of deactivating the TAC now that we've discussed that? I mean, at the very least, it would make sense to not – we didn't really even give them a parameters of what to tell us. So, I mean, yeah. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to take a step or two back, if I remember correctly, what does that look for? Just kidding. If I remember correctly, the reason for the technical advisory committee, yes, we overarchingly approved it just to see what would happen. And also there were a couple of, for lack of a term, blanks, if you will, like who at Savannah State would be talked to. I think it still had the wrong name of Greenscapes, whatever, what have you, right?
Yeah, Melanie so had mentioned a lot of those positions don't even exist now. So
right, so that makes sense as well. But I think the overarching theme is to why not when we take out the, hey, let's just see what happens, right? Because there was that Captain Planet aspect of it. To it, if you will, where it's by our powers combined, we activate the TAC. And I mean, like it or not, there was some aspect to that. But from a advisory perspective, the reason why it came up was there's a proposed fountain water structure, if you will, in Kavanaugh Square, I think is where it was going. There's where it's proposed. Mm-hmm. Kavanaugh Parks. Sorry. And we wanted to make sure that the mains, the water mains and everything to feed the proposed water feature wouldn't be affecting anything. So there was that aspect of, hey, we need to make sure that nothing's going to be destroyed. For example, there are a lot of great and impactful and shade-creating trees in Cavanaugh Park that if you remove even one of them, you're going to basically run into what's going to happen when that tree on the corner or on the intersection right there outside the building is going to happen, where you'll have basically a nice, wonderful void. And some of the great scenic aesthetics of Cavanaugh Square and Savannah for that Cavanaugh Park and Savannah for that matter would be hindered, right? So that was the, at least from what I remember, as to why the justification taking out the Captain Planet aspect. I think to that effect, though, if then we no longer really need the technical advisory, why is it still in the, and this is more so not just a directed at you, Director, but it's a general topic of discussion, is why then is the technical advisory committee still in the master planning guidelines?
It was an oversight when they were updated to remove it.
But we also, we haven't even seen the application.
But he's asking about the guidelines being updated. And to be honest with you, if it was something that I'd seen specifically, it would have jumped at me and I would have said, let's just take it out. And the reason is because I'm not sure what happened when it was initially created. But if we get an application like that, I'm going to have it sent to all of the agencies that have to sign off on it before you even see it. You're going to know, is this going to impact, the water lines? Because we've had so much development around the city, it needs to go to them anyway.
Yeah, that should be part of the regular process.
Right. So it was, I'm not sure when it was initially created. I just know that I thought that it was yet another group that we would have to figure out how to pull together that really didn't have any value when I already have to go through that process anyway with the people that are being the decision maker. So I felt like it would be better for you to get an application that you're looking at that at least had been vetted to know that it works. And when I say it works, you know that it works even financially, because if there's any costs, then we can figure out what those costs are directly from the folks that the money would go to in those cases. So that was why.
And if I remember correctly, and this is dating myself, it's like 2 or 3 years is the last time when we looked at the master planning guidelines, there was another committee as well that could potentially be activated. It wasn't the TAC, but it was a separate one. And I don't remember, I could be wrong. Leah, correct me.
Okay. I don't recall.
It could be another guideline committee, something or whatever that I'm mixing it with, but I remember the TAC, but I want to say that there was another one more so for like I know that in terms of like a quote unquote controversial issue, or like if a topic could generate a lot of discussion, then maybe the chairman would want to call a special closed. I'm oversimplifying it.
I will say this.
I'm looking at it from the perspective of, are there any other type of those committees that are in the master planning?
Not that we saw that would create a problem. But again, I think that even a few years ago when everybody was very anxious to get something in place, that was another reason it probably just didn't get put out, identified, because we were trying to get something in place. But the bottom line is that if you run into something that is that heated, one, I'm going to definitely know and I'm going to make the phone calls. And if you need to have subject matter expert or whatever to come in, we would have them in as a board. That's why you exist, to deal with the good and the controversial. And, I think that that's just the best way to go. If you need a committee or if you feel like you need some additional expertise, all you have to do is say, hey, can we get some additional resources to help us as we are vetting out this particular application if it's something that's coming in that's complicated? And you would definitely know. If it was something that big, I would be calling the chairperson and he would, get some guidance from his perspective, and we would definitely make sure that you know. But I think that all of the subcommittees, it actually takes away a lot of your power and your authority to have all these extra committees.
No, it makes sense. If we have a technical issue that we get stuck on, it would make sense rather than to go activate all these people and get a task force and then do a report and all this, just to ask the person who could answer that question and get some clarity on that, right? That makes sense.
I don't think you could get all those people on a Zoom call.
No, I don't think you could.
At the same time. No. I mean, there's too many people for one thing. And some of them would have no input because they don't know.
That's correct.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So is there any action we need to take or just ignore?
I would just
probably, because I can't recall whether you voted to do it, but I would think in order to cover – just to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe to entertain a motion to withdraw the activation of the technical advisory committee. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, real quick, is there any update as to when the potential petition is going to come in front of the commission, or is it still pie in the sky for lack of a term?
To be candid with you, I know I haven't heard anything. Have you talked with anybody? Okay, well, Caitlin can give you an update on that, but I know I haven't talked to anybody.
Yeah, I've been talking with the applicant and think their goal is to have part one in for the July meeting. So
okay.
We didn't get anything in for the June deadline, so it's clearly not for this upcoming month.
Thank you. Then I make a motion to redact the technical
advisory. Let's say withdraw. You want to say withdraw the technical advisory committee recommendation. Does that make sense? So there's a motion to withdraw our recommendation to activate the technical advisory committee. Is there a second?
I'll second.
So there's the motion on the table is to withdraw our request for a technical advisory committee. Is there any discussion? Further discussion? Eileen?
Yes.
Catherine, yes.
Lisa, yes.
Sean, yes.
Okay. And thank you, Melanie, and thank you for that clarification too. Thank you for this. But I think going forward, it makes a lot of sense if we do get hung up on some sort of technical aspect or need some additional expertise to just find that person or persons and proceed that way. Eileen?
I guess this is a question for you, Melanie. Just so now in our policy, it is still in there. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So with our vote, will that allow us to remove it out of the policy?
That's a good question. Do we need to like go revise the, I mean, because I think to Sean's point, I mean, maybe we need to just take that out.
Yeah, I would, to be candid with you, I would just leave it alone.
Okay.
I mean, it's there as a tool if you need it.
Okay.
But as long as you don't touch it, okay, then you're fine, because it would have to go back through the whole process of getting heard by city council, and it's not really worth going through that effort.
That makes sense.
But as long as you are, withdrawing your activation of it, then we're on record of having that done.
That's a good question.
And so it's a great question. And my question to you, Chris, and you all can talk to your various elected representatives. As you know, I am a big proponent and advocate of Art the Box, and nothing has happened after sending tons of information about taking care of some of these horrendous looking traffic boxes. So my question is, have you spoke to the city and others about moving that project forward? Because it has very little cost to them. It would help with some of the issues and concerns that they've got with stickers. You wouldn't believe the number of calls that I actually get from people talking about all the stickers on these traffic boxes. And it's, to me, it's fair game. There's nothing on it. It's just the
– Oh, yeah, and it's a super easy project.
It's an easy – you know, it's an easy project and very
– I have taught – so I have spoken with Stuart Miller. Oh, I think I can say this on the record, the executive director of the Cultural Resources Department. And he likes this idea, but right now – the focus is for an ordinance for a funding for public art ordinance to be put through. And that is what he's working on right now. And he's talked to the city manager about it. And I think that's all I can probably say right now. But that's where that is right now.
Okay. So I spoke with, just so that you know, I spoke with Brett Bell about it. And, you know, to me, these are two totally separate issues. This is something that can happen in a week, really. It's not a, it's not something that really cost the city, to be candid, anything, because I'd even sent them information where the paint company that we used when we were in an Augusta environment basically donated the paint for a pilot project. And they had, I spoke with him and he had said that they had looked at wrapping the boxes, which I, I'm not a big proponent of wrapping. And I'm just kind of like, if you're going to paint it, let them, let the artist paint them with the speculations that, I mean, excuse me, with the rules and procedures and stuff that they've got to follow with the paint that's provided for them or with the money that's given to them to be able to do it if there's money involved. But to me, they're two totally different issues.
Well,
this
here,
is,
here's an idea, but, though. So he did do the drainage project, in which he did with the with money from the utility. So maybe maybe that's a utility. Maybe there's money that can come from the utilities towards that.
Well, I talked to them about both, so it seems like the drainage project got moved up ahead of the box. And to be candid with you, they both are utilities because they're traffic boxes, traffic engineering boxes.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying.
But
yeah.
I just thought, I mean, I just thought I would ask why, while I'm here, you guys are sites and monuments, so I'm taking my executive director hat off and asking as a resident or a civilian here that pay taxes. Why aren't we doing something to beautify some of these areas?
Well, as you know, Ms. Director, we are not a proactive body.
I know.
And if we had a budget, I would that would be the first thing on the list, Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know how to ask this question, but
we're getting off topic, but that's okay.
No, this actually kind of sort of is on topic. It, you have his name wrong.
Whose name?
Earl Carter. You have it listed as Ben, and his actual first name is Earl.
Well, I just know that the staff looked at it's on the web on his website, so we'll correct
it's Earl
it.
Earl Carter.
Okay.
He goes by Buddy, not my buddy. But his unfortunately his real name is Earl, not Ben. I don't want to be like over analytical, but
you know what?
I even Googled it just.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you doing that. We got the information from websites and things of that nature.
I would love it for his website to be wrong and everything else. But that's
would you say
story.
Now?
I would love for everything he says to be completely wrong because it would.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's stick to the agenda.
Everybody
here.
Knows the
yeah.
picture's there, so they'll be able to get to him. But I appreciate that, and we'll go in and deal with editing. In, the next batch that we print out, but
well, and
this is just a guide. Go ahead.
From Mr. Rivers died last
week. There's a note in here that well, there's an asterisk in the others that we are having printed that makes a note of when he served and the time that he passed. So he still was in office at the time.
Yeah,
this is covering 2022 of who was in office at that time. It's not covering from now until then. So. We did make sure that we looked at that as well.
Well, thank you for that. I will keep the box stream alive.
I'm
as
just
much as I
you know I'm
can.
Hoping to see at least one box.
I hear you.
Just one.
I hear you. I want to see them all painted.
Okay. Well, thank you for your indulgence and thanks for letting us.
No problem. Sorry.
Well, you know. Considering that we just put this together pretty quickly as we did good to get my biggest thing was to make sure we had everybody's phone number right and that we had the most current picture. And we figured that if there was any tweaking of names that people know what folks look like. But I will make sure that when we do additional reprints that we will make sure that we make that adjustment. but thank you. Everything that we this was double checked, like, or it was triple checked, and we didn't have anything that was different than what was in the book. So whatever he uses when he is campaigning is what's in this book. And if he's not using his real name, you know, we never attested that anything is a real name. We just said this is who these folks are. So that's why it's listed that way. But thank you for letting us know. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman, for letting
me. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Chat on this one. And, you know, with that correction, I think there's a lot of good information in this book that you can take back and you can let folks in
the
community know
really
that information is out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for making the time. Appreciate it. Okay, we have one last item here, and I'll ask if anyone else has any new business. But thank you, Caitlin, for mentioning this square naming application process. I was going to mention this closer to the time it came up, but it makes more sense to talk about this now, because I recently had a discussion with Joe Shearhaus about the naming process for what was formerly known as Calhoun Square. So they are currently in the process of taking applications for that square. He said, as far as when we talked, there are so far only two names that have gone through the application process. He said they've received like over 100 emails with suggestions and whatnot, but that's not part of the process. They need a full application. So there's only two names that have gone through the full process. There is.
We got an update. Okay. Yeah, there's three or four now.
Okay, good. There seems to be more coming in. So the deadline is, so the city did have a public meeting last Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday. It might have been Thursday. I think it was Wednesday. So I was there. I spoke with Joe before that, and I really appreciated that he sort of clarified the process of how this was going to go. So I just wanted to update you all on like how this is going to go. There is on the Savannah, Georgia website, savannahga.gov. There's a site. I printed it out. It's like two pages. On the application process. And you can see it has the code that you all can go through, which I went through. It's pretty basic. And then it basically names the criteria of what there needs to be to submit an application for a name for this square. So this is on the website, but I'll go ahead and tell you all this. The deadline for applications is going to be May 15th. At midnight, that's when the last application will be accepted. Then they're going to go through a staff review and make sure. And this is all the stuff that Joe basically communicated during this public meeting. And it was not a real like a Q&A session. It was just an informational session. He took some questions, but it was basically just how is this going to go down? So once the applications are in, they're going to be a staff review at the city level. The municipal archives and park and tree department will review applications for accuracy and the criteria outlined within Article E, which is in the ordinance. Then, there will be a public meeting for the public to comment. Then it will go through, and that's scheduled. These are, as he said, these are not hard deadlines, but that's going to be roughly in June. In July, it will go to the Park and Tree Commission, and there will be a public comment period then. And then it will come here, and they will make a recommendation on the names, which ones should go through, should there be multiple, should some not be considered, should they, all that sort of thing. And then it will come here to the Historic Site and Monument Commission for us to review, and then that will be roughly, they're hoping, in August. And then we will make a recommendation to City Council, who will vote. It says here August to September, there'll be a vote. So there'll be three opportunities for public comment. There'll be the city's public comment, public meeting. There'll be the Park and Tree Commission, and then there'll be this commission. That's all I know. There was about 30-ish people at the public meeting, and there were some questions just about the process, et cetera, et cetera. It seemed like there was going to be more applications come in, and it sounds like there have been some more. So Joe, I don't want to get ahead of it, but Joe said it's up to us to sort of decide how, after we hear what Park and Tree's recommendations are, we'll decide whether we rank these names or whether we're going to. He said it would be city council. It would be helpful to city council for us to at least rank maybe the top three or top five or so. If we get like 20 applications, maybe we consider the top five or something like that. But I think that's a discussion for later when we actually see the names and that sort of thing. Does that make sense? Any questions, Lisa?
Why does it go to Park and Trees before us?
That's the process they decided. I don't know.
Tell us, Sean.
Because they're better. That's what you're going to say, right?
I do know the answer to this.
Do you? Oh, okay. There's a real answer?
Sure. Anything.
Because a long, long time ago, the parks and the monument were considered one thing. Because the monuments, was in the parks. Yeah, that is true. And but you can add to it. So I'm not saying in history, I'm saying within my lifetime. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry.
Thanks, Eileen.
So, Eileen, that may or may not be true, but I can tell you why it actually comes to the Park and Tree Commission, because there's the de facto member, the chair of the Park and Tree Commission, and that is me, sits on this. The reason why Joe has added in the Park and Tree Commission, and it really goes for any and all naming processes, because it's so that way the Park and Tree Commission advises the chair on how to vote, and I can then take that answer and say, oh, well, I agree with that, and I can vote this way. Like, technically, that's the way how it's supposed to be done.
That does make sense.
So that's the real reason as to why it comes to Park and Tree first, as to say how
that's the real reason, Eileen.
I don't think so. Okay.
But you did have a conversation with Joe as well.
Oh, yeah, correct. I did. Okay. And one other thing, too. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Catherine. But the timeline, we're trying to get it to where it comes in front of the Park and Tree Commission in June and not July. And it's entirely based off of when because we meet the third Tuesday of every month, whereas the Sites and Monuments is the first Thursday of every month. So there's a huge couple of week discrepancy. Right. So if we can push it up to the June meeting, Joe advised me that he would prefer it to be on the June calendar meeting, but we're still planning for it as a worst case scenario of July.
And I'll just say, Catherine, I'll let you speak. These, you know, they don't, you all can look at this on the website, but it just says June 2023, July 2023. There aren't specific dates. And Joe even said, you know, they're subject to change. But Catherine, did you have something?
I have a quick question. I'm assuming that, say, I wanted to make a recommendation for naming the square, I would have to recuse myself from the vote, which is why I haven't done that.
Probably from that vote. Maybe we can have clarification. I don't know if you would have to recuse yourself from the vote on everything.
I just don't want there to be muddy water.
But no, I think that's a fair point.
Potentially could be somewhat controversial with people out there.
Yeah.
I don't want to muddy the water, and I want to be able to vote. So I'm just checking.
You make the recommendation to whom?
Application. If I wanted to say I want the square to be Dogwood Square. Okay.
Yes, then you would have to recuse yourself because...
But I'm not doing that.
So she would have to recuse herself from the entire vote, from all of the applications? So say we're... So
she would have to recuse herself from the one that she submitted.
Right. Okay. But so if we had like nine others, would she have to recuse from those as well?
No. She just has to recuse from the one that she submitted because she would have a conflict of interest.
Okay.
I just want to muddy.
No, I think that's a fair... I think that's fair.
I like Dogwood.
Yeah, I think it's fair to assume... We're definitely going to have media here. I don't think anyone else was here. The last time we had a really big controversial meeting was the Waving Girl, and I think we actually had the meeting over at the county commissioner's office. Were you here for that one, Leo? And it was a lot of people, and they all had opinions. I don't know if that's going to be the same case, but we can assume, you know, there's going to be more than this here. That's all I know. And I would recommend you all to go look at the website and just familiarize yourself. I'll remind everyone again before that meeting so we can all refresh ourselves on all this. Eileen?
Yep. Chris, did he explain to you why they put that, what is your vote out or survey they put out for renaming the square?
He didn't mention anything about that.
Because I wonder what they're going to do.
What is it?
It was a survey of
not to an applicant, not to the application. Okay, I don't know.
And I was like, what are they going to do with that?
He didn't mention that.
Okay, just curious.
Any other questions, Lisa? No, sorry, Sean.
Lisa, did you have something?
No, I was thinking.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Only thing I was going to say was, I know. In the past, it wasn't for the waving girl. There was something prior to that that was potentially viewed as controversial. I can't remember what it was. But there was the – and I mentioned the special meeting or however you want to word it. Because this situation, the naming of the square is potentially controversial. Is that something that you would want to entertain having a, for lack of a term, a pre-meeting for the whatever day?
Personally, I want to be, and Joe made it clear that the city is trying to be as transparent as possible. And I would personally not want to do anything like that. I think we just come here and hear the applications. That would be my preference.
The only thing I wasn't saying that.
But no, I mean, I hear what you're saying.
I was just saying to keep it as, hey, this is the process that we need to go through. Granted, this situation is very different because we do these regularly.
Yes.
But maybe from a, hey, this is slightly different because there's going to be multiple applications. It's narrowing down. That was the only
question. That's a good question. Actually, that is a good point.
That was the only
and you know what? It may be, if you all are open to this, it may be the month before this comes before this commission, the meeting before that, perhaps we'll have a conversation about what we want to do. So we're not having that conversation
at that meeting
during the meeting. Does that make sense? Because Joe basically gave us, and I think we shouldn't overthink it too much before we see what the applications are, but he said it's up to the commission what they want to do. If we want to put one name or multiple names, I think it would be a disservice for us to just decide one name. I think the city council needs multiple. Yeah, at least two or more. But he did say it would be helpful. City council would appreciate if we maybe ranked them, if we could come to some consensus about that. That might be a complicated process if we're not all on the same page on that. So that maybe we can have a discussion the meeting before we actually have this to sort of say, okay, if we have a sense of, because the applications will be closed, so we'll have a sense of how many names we're going to be looking at. So if we're looking at 100 names versus like eight names, it might make a difference.
I think it would be helpful too if we were told 50 people wanted the same name or 20 people wanted this name or only one person wanted this name.
Please make sure you're speaking into your mic because we can't hear you over here.
I'm sorry. Would we be able to know how many people might have nominated that particular name? Or is it just going to be a free-for-all?
So as I understand it, as I understand it, one individual or a group of individuals would do an application. They would put that application to be considered.
Or her name. Okay.
Right. And then the public comment period. And that's why Joe made it clear that there's three options for public comment. The public comment period is basically our way of knowing. And I think, I mean, one of the questions I would have for Joe in that meeting is, you know, how many letters of support? They're going to have letters of support for certain names and emails of support, and they're going to compile that just like a regular petition. So we'll see like, oh, there were 50 emails in support of this name. I'm assuming that's probably going to be the case. Does that make sense? And then we'll also hear the public commenting on what they like, what they don't like. I mean, I think it, I don't know how this is going to go, honestly. I guess we'll see. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, Catherine, you'll, the people will show up here.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I think that's going to be, and I think that Joe will, I mean, I would like, I'm going to ask him as well. I mean, that would be my top of mind question. You know, is there a top name that people have expressed to the city that they want? So I guess we'll find out. This will be an interesting process. Did I answer your question, Sean? I mean, are you, does that sound reasonable to you to have a discussion, the, like the meeting before?
Yes.
Because I mean, actually, that might, you all might have already had a meeting then, right? If it's the June meeting, then if our July meeting, we can.
It's all dependent as to when the, and sorry, just for the record, I'm Sean. I'm just making sure we keep up with the same process. I've gone back and forth from a Park and Tree Commission perspective as to how I want to do it. And I know that there has been discussion previously from other issues. For example, the Waving Girl was one, and there was something else too that I cannot remember. It was before that, where it was viewed as potentially controversial. It was going to be drawing a lot of ire, and it's like, hey, it's not a, we're talking about this and predetermining what our answer is. It's a, here's the process, this is what to expect type situation.
Right.
So it might be better if we just have it on the meeting right before.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I do think that we need to sort of like game out how our approach to that meeting. And it might make sense for us to just do that the month before it comes before us.
Yeah. Like, did Joe tell you who was going to be presenting from the city side?
I'm assuming him and Luciana. Luciana were the ones at that public meeting.
Yeah, from what he told me, it was going to be Luciana presenting.
Yeah.
She even told me, or she said, because I saw her on Friday at the Art Tree Contest 2023 Second Annual Park and Tree Commission. Not name dropping at all. I saw her, and that's she said, yeah, she's been reviewing all of them and ready to go all over.
Yeah, again, I think so. They're like the team, the main staff team on that. Okay. Any other suggestions or recommendations? Anybody else have any other new business to discuss? If not, our next meeting is scheduled. Sean?
Catherine, you did say, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Catherine, you did say there were no submissions for June, right?
We have not received any.
That's Caitlin. That's
yeah. Caitlin. Wow. I still knew what you meant, though.
The tape is wrong. It definitely says Caitlin. It starts with a C.
Do we have applications?
Close enough. It's a derivative of Catherine, so it works.
Yeah, the question, do we have applications for the next?
We do not.
So we may not have a next meeting.
Right, and I'll send out a confirmation to everybody.
Okay. So that would be the June meeting. So I guess we'll play it by ear. And so it would be, we would have our discussion about the square in our July meeting because it's scheduled here to come before us in our August meeting. So if that makes sense. So if we'll see if there are applications for the July meeting. If not, we can discuss whether we want to come in and just have that discussion. I think it's important to have it on the record just so we're as transparent as possible. Okay.
All right.
Without any further business, the next meeting is probably not going to be on June 1st. Without objection, meeting is adjourned.